I am Nkosinathi Ndlovu, and this is TCS Plus brought to you by Braintree. Braintree is an IT consultancy specializing in the Microsoft tech stack. Here with me today are Grant van der Westhuizen and Heath Huxtable, MD and Business Application Sales Manager at Braintree. Gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Good. If we could start by way of analogy, I wake up in the morning, maybe I have a little headache and some muscle aches. I decide to go to the chemist and self-diagnose. I'm going to get some generic pain tablets that I've used before. They've worked for me in the past. Luckily, I run into a nurse who encourages me to go in for a consultation. And we find out later that there was some deeper problem. Maybe I need antibiotics or something stronger. But when I walked in to the chemist initially, right, I just wanted to solve a particular pain problem. And I wasn't thinking about the deeper problem beneath that. How does this translate to software purchases?
I'm happy to take that one. Yes. It's actually a brilliant analogy because I think what happens is...
Are we the doctors?
We are more than doctors.
Are we the nurses?
We're the surgeons.
Specialists, yeah.
We specialize. The reality is that analogy is brilliant because from the perspective of businesses knowing or understanding what they require,
yes.
Often what happens when looking at solutions and systems that are in place, symptoms are what drives the requirement, right? Mm. So they look at the symptoms, be it inventory, be it financial analysis, and they go, how do we solve that? Mm. But often when they try and solve the symptom, when you start digging into it, you actually realize there's a lot more to the requirement and there's a lot more that can actually be reached, made possible. And we talk about the art of the possible.
Yes.
And if you don't know, you can't say, well, that's what I want to achieve, right?
So yes.
We look at trying to make sure that businesses don't just treat the symptoms, that we look at the larger solution requirement and how we can address that using a Microsoft environment.
Okay. But now in delving deeper into the problems, there's a difference now between short-term thinking as well as looking at a long-term view. How do you help your customers see that?
So I think the big thing for us is actually one is trying to understand what the problem is. Mm-hmm. And the problem statement has a lifespan.
Yes.
A large part of what organizations come to us and is that it's more strategic. Mm-hmm. So there might be an immediate problem. So I've got the cold, common cold, I need something right now. But ultimately, how do I prevent the common cold happening in the future? So a large portion of what we do is actually kind of trying to understand or unpack the requirement that a company has or an organization has to resolve certain problems or to address certain problems going forward. So problem solving is one element, but future proofing businesses is part of what we also do. Mm. And when we talk about future proofing, it's about unlocking value. Mm. That doesn't have a life, that doesn't have a time frame. Unlocking value is infinite. Mm. And as long as an organization remains in business, we're always going to be trying to organizations try and unlock value. Software tries to help unlock that value.
Yes.
We see ourselves as a facilitator in being able to, one, let's understand what the problem statement is, and then two, try and resolve it.
Mm. So say you're consulting with me and you've shown me that I have a deeper problem, but you guys said you specialize in Microsoft. Now, are you going to Excel my business to the T? Is it going to be death by PowerPoint? You know, where's the depth going to come from?
So probably a common misconception is the concept that Microsoft is actually just like an office, they're just the office products. Mm. Okay. An interesting point was that one of our shareholders actually came to us probably about 2 months ago, and they said to us they'd like us to review a implementation contract that they've got for a business application. Mm. Okay. And they gave us a document. We had a look at the document, and we noticed that It was a competitive product of ours. Okay. And I said to them, so you do know that we that Microsoft's a bit more than just Office Suite of products, and that actually we as you're a shareholder, but part shareholder in us, yes, is we can offer way more value specifically in the business application space.
Yes.
Okay. And they said, yeah, but we went online and we had a look at it. We couldn't really find too much information about it. And that's probably part of the problem is that there's very little information about additionally what Microsoft can offer. So, you know, obviously Office, everybody knows Office, okay? It's generally kind of classified as a productivity suite, okay? But there's business applications, okay? So thankfully, from our point of view, we got involved at a very early stage before the kind of decisions had been made.
Yes.
And we went through the process of kind of introducing them to what we do in business applications.
Yes.
And If I look at us as an organization, we are probably about 60% of our business is actually business applications.
Mm.
Okay, 30% is productivity.
Yes.
Okay, and 10% is actually cloud services right now.
Oh.
So the three elements of Microsoft are the business applications, and there's a suite of products that they've got out there, and that's really about Grant mentioned about optimizing inventory and warehousing and distribution and finance and treasury and supply chain and all those sort of things. That's the business application space, and that's what we've traditionally always. You were asking me a little earlier on, how long have we been doing this? And our history comes from the business application space.
Yes.
When Microsoft adopted cloud in probably 2014, 2013, 2014, and they started moving a lot of their workloads into software as a service, that was where we got involved in productivity. That was we started selling productivity suite.
Okay.
That was kind of exacerbated with COVID,
yes,
and everybody went online and we had Teams meetings and things like that. So
yes,
that was basically the product, productivity suite on steroids.
Yes. Okay. Ramping up, yeah.
So we got that. And then obviously the cloud, cloud has been around, or Azure has,
yes,
been around for probably 2016 or the early parts, probably 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it took an event like COVID to suddenly make people realize, organizations realize that they need to kind of offload workloads from on-prem environments into the cloud, so
yes,
that it's accessible to everybody and,
yes,
by everybody.
Yes.
Okay. That's been our natural growth.
Mm.
So as I said, cloud at the moment is 10% of our revenue,
mm-hmm,
but it's a big part of our force. Our strategy is a big part of our growth strategy is cloud enablement.
Yes. But let's go back to the point. We spoke about you being specialists.
Mm.
And part of a specialist solution is having it tailored to my specific needs or my specific department. How much does personalization play a role in the solutions that you give to your client?
Massive.
Mm.
Massive. So we don't have a one-size-fits-all solution.
Mm.
So you opened up by actually saying to us, it's a consulting business, and our fundamental is we're a consulting business.
Mm.
So we take product and solutions, and we tailor fit them to customers' requirements.
Okay.
And that's what our consultants do. That's actually the strength of us as an organization.
Yes.
I also think what's happened is that a lot of businesses, as over the years, if you look at where we find a really strong strength in consulting with companies that have got multiple disciplines within an organization. So, and what I mean by that is that a lot of companies, they started off by going, we sell widgets, or we sell a certain item.
Mm.
But as business grew, they diversified. And then all of a sudden it moved from, we don't just sell an item,
mm-hmm,
we service an item.
Yes.
Or we end up running, and believe it or not, a canteen.
Yes.
The business actually starts to evolve. And when the business evolves, one size fits all doesn't work.
Yes.
But then how do you get a consolidated view of your organization that's got all of these different facets involved?
Uh-huh.
And that becomes quite a strong point for us to actually be able to give you, here's a single view of your organization, but what's required for a catering business versus what's required for selling a widget.
Yes.
Very,
two
very
completely
different
things.
Completely
different
animals.
Yes.
Right?
But now let's talk about...
Same tech,
mm-hmm,
different solution.
Yep.
Okay. So the tech being the same helps you have, as you said, one view, and you can consolidate that.
Yeah, okay.
But different solutions help you manage different problems in a specific way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now let's talk about implementing these things. Implementation is sometimes difficult because you come along now. I've been using whatever tool X that I've been using for 10 years, mm-hmm. right, as an employee in a certain position, you come along and say, all right, we're going to change the paradigm and this is better, this is faster. But how do you balance that familiarity versus novelty in terms of the solutions and how adoption happens in organizations?
Well, I think you started off by saying about Microsoft being Office, PowerPoint,
yes.
Excel.
Yes.
There lies a lot of the ability to actually implement change because most people know how to use a Microsoft productivity solution. They know how to find certain things in certain places,
yes.
expect to find certain things in certain places. Mm. First thing that you do when you walk into any company, what are they doing? Checking emails, right?
Yes.
If you're actually able to take the business application side of it and embed it into an Outlook environment, now you're not forcing a user to go out from Outlook and move into a different solution. They can actually get their invoicing. They can get a view yes. of their business requirements within Outlook. Mm. That is a huge plus compared okay. to some of our competitive products where they don't have that direct engagement.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that other competitive products don't do that.
Yes.
But the level of
integration. Interoperability.
And the ability for users to accept that kind of change
yes.
is massive. Mm. So that goes a long way.
All right. But, okay, so you get some of that change from the familiarity with Microsoft products. But, I mean, we're also seeing with the introduction of AI that change management sometimes needs a very specific focus. You know, some projects are multi-year projects and they're big. So what happens in that case where you need to drive change management, you know, more directly?
I think the big thing with AI specifically is it's a big unknown.
Yes.
So, from a tech point of view, from an adoption point of view, it's in its infancy, and I think anything that is unknown is a threat. And the minute it's a threat, okay, you have resistance. The resistance is actually what we're required as an organization to kind of help an organization through that resistance, threshold.
Yes.
It comes back down to the motive of an organization as to why they actually want an AI in the first place.
Mm.
Okay. And when the motive is actually clearly articulated, adoption becomes a whole lot easier.
Mm.
We've come across quite a few instances where AI, as an example, okay, is viewed as an opportunity to be able to reduce headcount.
Mm.
Okay. That's not a great thing when you're trying to talk about change management and adoption.
Okay. Yes.
In fairness.
Yes.
What we're trying to change the narrative
yes.
of what AI actually is really trying to achieve in an organization and organizations at large.
Yes.
And that's about driving better efficiency. It's making people focus on the things that they actually didn't have time to focus on previously, okay, to the extent that they need to focus to get better results.
Mm.
So it's better efficiency. It's, you know, work smart, not necessarily always hard. Get a lot of the hard work done by technology.
Yes.
If we can get that message across in organizations, the change management aspect becomes a whole lot easier.
Yes.
And AI is one part of it. Grant talks about the business applications.
Yes.
Business applications is the heart of an organization. Okay, without that, without the business application organization, the company doesn't. It would be difficult to exist.
Yes.
So Grant has this analogy of the open heart surgery without anesthetic. Okay, is you take a business application out of an organization, it's like having open heart surgery. So no organization actually willingly wants to go through a process of changing their business application. So there has to be a value add. There has to be an opportunity. There has to be a driver. And it's about unlocking value, future value,
yes.
future proofing businesses.
Yes,
Organizations tend to adopt these processes, and change management in that space is insane because there what we found is staff churn.
Yes,
when you start replacing business applications is massive, and it's because of the fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Is people fear that there's an application that's going to help me. That's going to help the business and it's going to make my job redundant.
Okay? So they start looking for
exactly. So, and that puts projects at risk, mm-hmm. generally, because you now the people that held the business acumen or the IP around what they were doing now yes. kind of disappears.
Yes.
Okay, so and it becomes more complex the longer the project becomes. Mm. So you know, in multi-year projects, but apart from the traditional project fatigue,
yes.
staff turn. Becomes a huge issue.
I also think the key to change management as well is that we're speaking about technology, right? We're talking about Microsoft as a solution and as a platform.
Yes.
The thing is, when it comes to business application and anything that you're doing around change management, you're aiming it not at the technical department or the CIO. You know, this is not a technical initiative.
Yes.
It's actually a business initiative.
Unfortunately, technical has a big say in it.
Technical needs to have a say in it, but to drive change management, what you need to do, though, is the business needs to actually drive that down. I think the misconception is that, you know, consultants can come in and drive change management for an organization. It's untrue. What you drive change management through is executive sponsorship.
Yeah. Mm.
The business itself needs to want to change,
yes.
needs to have a reason to change.
Yes.
Because without that reason, consultant walks in and says, guys, we're going to give you open heart surgery without anesthetic.
Yes.
No normal person would say, yeah, that sounds like fun. Let's do that, right? They're going to run away.
Yes.
So what we do is you need to have change management driving it. And when it comes to AI, the key for me around AI is the fact that the motive should be a business motive, like Heath said, around productivity.
Yes.
But more importantly, AI is driven around data. Mm. And people don't see it like that. They go, oh, AI, we're going to have... You know, we're going to have a bot, an Android, or somebody doing my job. But it's all based on data. Because if you don't base it on data, what's going to happen is you're going to have an AI tool or an AI initiative. Mm-hmm. And this is a term that I actually heard for the first time, and I actually started laughing. They say it starts hallucinating.
Yes.
Because it will hallucinate if the data is not grounded. So that's kind of a key concept that businesses need to understand.
Yes.
They need to have the data in place in order to facilitate the change, be it AI, be it a biz app, be it any change within an organization.
But Grant, you touched on something there about this tension between business and IT.
Yeah, yeah.
This also plays out when software purchases have to be made. How does that come through in your engagements?
I think it's actually got better over the years. I think, and you know, if I go back 5, 6, 7 years ago, there was always a lot of tension because you found technical IT was actually under finance. Finance is driving debits and credits and yes. trying to reduce costs, and where the spend is, it needs to be justified, etc.
Yes.
Whereas technical is looking at it and saying, future-proof the business, we understand a threat. Might be security, it might be platform, it might be hosting. You know, we saw this initiative where the unfortunate happenings of what happened in KwaZulu-Natal, where businesses were disrupted by the riots that went down. Businesses that were cloud-based were able to rejuvenate and go forward and pick it up quickly.
Mm-hmm.
People that had a server under a desk that now the server's gone, your data's gone, components... The time to get back to business as usual is crazy. So that started stimulating. And I think what happened then is you find as the years have passed, the technical department within a business has actually become a self-standing department.
Mm.
Doesn't report into finance. It reports as itself. So you get CIO.
Yes.
It's a role on the board, C-level exec. Here we go. So that drives a lot better conversations within, a lot better, that's a brilliant English, but anyway, drives a conversation that is meaningful for the business, and it's not seen as a grudge purchase as it used to be,
okay.
if that makes sense.
Yes, and I think what you're saying is it leads to better outcomes in terms of
Absolutely.
What tools are purchased at the end of the day.
And why tools are bought, right? I mean, you know, it's not just, well, I like the shiny thing in the corner, it's new, let me try it. It's not about that. It's about... There's a technology shift,
yes.
And Microsoft is brilliant in the way that they trailblaze.
Yes.
So for us to actually look at that and embrace it and say, okay, this is actually a longer-term view, that becomes the discussion rather than, yeah, let's try the guinea pig and let's see if we can actually make this thing work for us. It's not about that.
Okay,
but I think there's good conflict between between IT or IT and business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the big thing is that the driver ultimately in terms of IT should be a support function, business should drive the requirement. IT needs to support that requirement. Historically, it was IT used to kind of drive the outcomes as well. It's different and it has changed.
Yes.
I look at our success, if I look at our project successes, our most successful projects that we've got are the ones where we deal with the business directly and rely on the IT team to support the initiative.
Mm.
Our least successful is where we actually have a driver where the IT department is overly strong and they drive the initiative, the outcome, they drive the process. We invariably find that we have a bit of a mismatch in terms of what the business expects versus what we actually deliver. Mm. So for us, I think the big thing is we need to be talking to the business people in the organizations.
Yes. And then IT just helps you make sure that you integrate your solutions.
Correct.
In the best way.
And also, I think the technology is basically played into that requirement as well. And what I mean by that is, historically, what's happened is that if there was, for example, a reporting requirement from business, it would land up as a request to the IT department, and then you would have someone going into SQL, writing SQL reports using reporting services or analysis services. Now with tool sets around productivity, where you're looking at Power BI, you're looking at analytical tools that users can actually drive, you're not having to require the IT department to drive the output. You've actually facilitated and given tools to the users that they can actually do it themselves.
There's a very cool term on that. It's a democratizing of data.
Yes.
When I grab one day, I'm going to use that term.
Data is owned by everybody.
Yeah,
data is owned by the organization, not just a handful of people.
Yes.
So it's about making that data available to everybody. So the tool sets that are coming out provide the consumers of that data to be able to analyze it and slice and dice and present it in a way that makes sense to them.
Mm.
You know, days gone by, you would put in a request for information, okay, and it would go into an IT team or an IS team, and they would go and they would schedule it. And, 3 weeks later, the report would come out and say, is this what you wanted? Or the data comes, is this what you wanted? And then you'd go through iterations of that. And, by the time that you actually get the report you want, actually you don't need the report anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. So democratization of data is absolutely, it's a big thing happening now.
Yes.
And it's about putting the power in the hands of the people that use it.
Yes. And it speaks back to that personalization aspect. Because
yes.
the people using it design a solution that's actually specific to their problem.
Correct.
But the key, though, is to make sure that the base data is consistent, accurate, or else I've sat in a board meeting where people have actually spent the first 30 minutes discussing that their gross profit percentage differs from someone else in the room because they've used Excel, and whose is right and whose is wrong. Whereas if the base data is accurate and everyone believes in the integrity of the data, then the end user can consume that data as much as they want, but you're not questioning the integrity of the data. That becomes critical.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much for a lively discussion.
No, only a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Okay,
thank
great.
You very much.
That is Grant van der Westhuizen and Heath Huxtable of Braintree for TCS Plus.